Blog Talk Radio. Amen, amen. Thank you all for tuning in tonight. Welcome to PGN, Prophetic Grace Network. I'm one half your host, Terrence.
And I'm the other half of your host, Tanisha. And welcome into the show. Today is December 12th, 2021. It's 9:12 p.m. Central Standard Time. We're excited to be here. Thank you for tuning in.
Absolutely. We're getting ready to close out this year, 2021. Excited about the days ahead, the season ahead, the times ahead. Most importantly, I'm excited about right now, because right now is the moment that we can change the trajectory of our next, right now. And I was thinking earlier about now faith. And it's funny how scriptures use words, and words have meanings. And the scripture is a living word. It's powerful. So it still works. It works right now. So like now faith, you know, the moment that we're in right now is the opportunity for us to activate the faith that's needed to bring things to manifestation, to bring things into the natural. It's time for us to see these things. And God is really talking about increasing faith. And so he's telling me about now faith is the substance. So it's a substance is something that you can hold, something that you can touch, you can feel. This is how real the spirit is. You can feel it. Of things hoped for.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can feel what I don't even have yet. Like what sense does it really make? That's why it can't make sense in the natural. That's why we have to really stay in the spirit. But then he says, to go further, he said, in the evidence. You know, my wife is really big on law and court cases and the system, how courts operate and where it's evidence. He said it's the evidence. So when you have evidence, evidence is proof.
Mm-hmm.
It's the things that sets aside that something happened. You have to have evidence to prove the innocence or prove the guilt of people in the court of law. And the evidence is you have to have the evidence. You know, evidence is proof of something.
It's proof of what you're saying.
It's proof. And so it's the evidence of things not seen. So how can I have evidence of something not seen? Think about the power behind it. Think about what God is really telling us to do. So what is the evidence? My faith is the evidence.
And then your work, because faith without works is dead.
Absolutely. I saw it in that way. You and the speedster over there, you just went on, just got out of the cruiser. My wife be ready. But absolutely, the faith is the evidence. And so coupled with the work, like the scriptures teach, is dead. So it's not that things are not happening in your life. It's not that things are not happening in the earth. It's because we lack the faith. We're not putting our faith in place. The Bible tells us to subdue the earth. In other words, we have to conquer it. God put us in charge of the earth. So it's not about how much the enemy is doing. It's really how much we're not doing. And so I'm putting the charge on us as believers. I'm putting the charge on us. You want something to change? Now faith. Put your faith in activation mode now.
Now.
Now. Put your faith on it. Believe for it and watch it manifest.
Amen. I have to get something to drink.
Yeah, see.
But what he's saying is so true about faith. And even evidence, when he was saying evidence, that was really sticking out to me. Let's look up what evidence means. What is the definition of evidence? Let's see. So evidence means something which shows that something else exists or is true. Ooh, I like that. Another one is a visible sign of something. Here's a legal definition. Material that is presented to a court of law to help find the truth about something. An outward sign. Ooh, now that's good. Something that furnishes proof, something legally submitted to a tribunal to ascertain the truth of a matter, the truth. So faith, let's read that scripture verbatim. Let me pull that up. Oops. Okay, so let's go to Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews 11:1. Now I'm reading out of the Amplified. Now faith is the assurance, title deed confirmation of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of the reality. Faith comprehends as fact that cannot be, comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. Let's read that in another translation. Let's do the NIV. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And then the King James, which is Terrence's favorite, says, now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is the proof. Because then, like we just said, faith without works is dead. So if you have faith for something, then it's like faith comes with works, or it should. If it doesn't come with works, then it's not faith. Because you have to have the works to go along with it. Because you're going to act, there's going to be action that's involved with what you have faith for. And that faith, along with that action, is the proof of what you don't see. And so we really have to, in this season, we really have to move in faith. Mm-hmm. We really got to move in faith. We've been talking about that for the last few weeks, and it has not changed. Something that the Lord was giving me was talking about, he was giving me the times that we live in. Right, Terrence and I were talking about that earlier. We were reading out of 2 Timothy. Because the times that we live in, we're going to really have to have faith. And I'm going to read to you out of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 3, yeah. Starting verse 1. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. I'm going to read verse 1 through... But understand this, that in the last days, dangerous times of great stress and trouble will come, difficult days that will be hard to bear. For people will be lovers of self, narcissistic, self-focused, lovers of money, impelled by greed, boastful, arrogant, rivalrous, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, and profane. And they will be unloving, devoid of natural human affection, callous and inhumane, irreconcilable, malicious, gossips, devoid of self-control, intemperate, immoral, brutal, haters of good, traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of sensual pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of outward godliness religion, although they have denied its power, for their conduct nullifies their claim of faith. Avoid such people and keep far away from them, for among them are those who worm their way into homes and captivate morally weak and spiritually dwarfed women weighed down by the burden of their sins, easily swayed by various impulses. This is where we're in the last days. And this is what we're seeing all around us. So if you're like, man, what happened to people? This is prophetic. You're watching prophecy unfold.
Mm-hmm.
Right before your very eyes. And while you're in that, right, because he starts off by saying, it's going to be dangerous times of great stress and trouble, right? When you're in times like that, you have to have faith. You it's a must, or you will succumb to the stress and the trouble and the danger. Because we're already living proof, right, of being in something that's perilous, but having to rise above it, because we've been in a pandemic now, right? The pandemic started in 2019. We're going to be in 2022 in what? A few weeks?
Mm-hmm.
And the pandemic started, what was it, March of 2019?
Was it
either March or April of 2019. It was in 2019. I want to say. You think it was 20? No, it was 2019. Let's look it up. We ain't even going to play them games.
You know.
When did COVID start? December 12, 2019, a cluster of patients began to experience shortness of breath.
Yeah, it was late 19.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it was March of 2020
mm-hmm.
when
things
shut down.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, it says January 30th, 2020, the WHO declared the COVID-19 outbreak global. So it was it started in 2019, but it became global. Well, it became identified January 2020. And by March, or because I remember it was spring break for the kids, that's when they started shutting everything down. So 2020. So we'll say about January, February, somewhere around there, beginning of 2020. And we're almost in 2022. So we've been dealing with this now for going on 2 solid years. And we've had to rise above that.
Mm-hmm.
We could have let this thing weigh us down, because life as we've known it has completely changed, even with how we day-to-day function. You know, you have to, depending on what state you're in, county, right, cities, all these different rules, even though we're the United States, but there's all these different rules mm-hmm. depending on the governing bodies. But you might have to wear a mask when you go inside of a place, or, you know, if you're out in public. And so that's become our norm now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody sneezes, people get nervous. You know, even though we've had sneezing, fevers, this is things that we've dealt with. I was talking to my oldest daughter earlier, and she was saying how it's crazy to her now that we've been in this pandemic for almost 2 years, that we haven't picked up the culture that some other countries do, that around cold season people just wear masks so that they don't get sick. She was like, but it took a pandemic for us to realize the importance of masks and how it could prevent illness. But we've had to change not only the way we operate. I remember when it first had happened, I would be going to the grocery store. I'd be like, oh man, I forgot my mask in the car, you know, so I had to turn around, go back to the car. But now I have masks everywhere. There's masks in my car, there's masks in my purse, you know. And I'm just so used to putting a mask on that when I don't put a mask on now, I feel exposed because I'm so conditioned now to wearing a mask.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had to change the way we operate, and we've had to change even our levels of, you know, people became heightened in the realm of fear, scared to touch things, scared, always sanitizing, always, you know, I remember when the pandemic first happened, I would take a shower constantly. Anytime I stepped outside, I was, because we just didn't know anything about it. So I didn't know how it was spread and how you catch it and all that kind of stuff, you know. So, but it took faith to be able to rise above, because then things started happening with our, you know, the job market, and things started happening with our economy, you know. But despite what's been going on, because of our faith, we've had to rise above that. We've been able to purchase new cars and a new home and change the way, you know, employment statuses and all sorts of stuff. But if we would have operated based on the surroundings and what was going on in the world, we wouldn't have accomplished the things that we've accomplished. Our faith had to activate, and we had to move in faith despite what was going on. And so what we're reading in 2 Timothy about the difficult times that are of great stress and trouble, you got to have faith. Because if you don't, you will succumb to the great stress and trouble and the danger. You will become a victim of it. But you don't have to, because we can be victors, because there's victory and there's freedom in Christ. But in order for us to rise above anything, any circumstance, we have to, it's going to take faith. Because it's evidence of things hoped for and the substance of things that are not seen. Because what we're seeing is going to be different than what God will tell us. Because God is telling us what we're going to see, not what we see right in front of us. You know, if we would have known that we were going to buy a house during the pandemic, that would, we didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Changing employment statuses during the pandemic, buying cars during the pandemic, changing all these different things, the way we operate during a pandemic. That wouldn't have made any sense to us. But that's what God chose to do. And even that for us is symbolic that it doesn't matter what's going on around us. If God said it, it can be done. The only thing that could stop you is you. Mm-hmm. That's you. You could be your own roadblock because of your disobedience. But if God said it's a done deal. Unless you stop it. And in order for us to get to the next levels, you know, imagine how many people opened businesses during this pandemic. But if they were looking at what the economists and all this other type of stuff and what was going on, people would have said it's nuts to start a business during a pandemic. But lots of businesses happened. Lots of businesses started during this pandemic. Ministries have started during this pandemic. Lots of things have happened during this pandemic that require faith. So tonight, tap into your faith. All those things that we're dealing with, that's beyond a pandemic. But we have to know what we are facing as far as these difficult times and the type of people. You know, the people shape the society, so the people shape the culture. And what has been described, we're seeing this. People who are lovers of self, narcissistic, self-focused, lovers of money, impelled by greed, boastful, arrogant, rivalrous, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, and profane. It says these people are going to have an outward look of God, but basically have no God in them. Denying the power of God, which we see all the time. I've been seeing myself personally an influx of pages on social media that claim to be Christian pages that have misquoted scriptures, that have worldly standpoints. I call them out when I see it in love. But I was telling Terrence, I'm like, when you don't study to show yourself approved, when you don't have a personal relationship with God, nothing in you will even, like, no bells will go off. I saw one earlier today, and it had a quote from Proverbs at the bottom of it, but it paraphrased the scripture and said, it basically said, God will help you do whatever you do. And I was like, what? That didn't even sound right to me. So, of course, I pulled the scripture and I went on and I commented and said, that's not what that scripture says. It says if you commit your ways to the Lord, you'll have success. Not you just do what you do and God is going to bless it. No, God don't help you sin and help you do the wrong things. Like, but that's the way it came off, that whatever you do, God is going to help you. And people amening, and I was just like, man, people, no discernment. Just on the outside, looking like believers and proclaiming Christ, but don't believe no power behind. No power. It's like a souped up car revving up, but it really ain't got no gas. Can't go nowhere if it wanted to. But I was like, I was surprised. I'm reading the comments. I'm like, how come ain't nobody called them out? They literally made it up. That's not what that, and they had the nerve to put the chapter in verse. That's what, I was like, what? But I didn't even need to not, I mean, it, for me, it wasn't even about it being the wrong scripture. I know that wasn't nowhere in the Word of God, period. But for a good measure, look up the scripture just to see what it said. I'm like, what are they lying about on the scripture? Why are they lying on the scripture like that? Nobody commented, nobody said anything. And then another page, it's supposed to be a Christian marriage ministry page, and they're posting lustful pictures and stuff, and people call them out like, you shouldn't post that kind of stuff. And the owner of the page is like, I'm sure you've seen worse things on here, and it's called self-control. And I'm like, that ain't even a Christ-like, and people was co-signing this. Yeah, because you gotta, how are you having a page like you're leading Christian marriages, but you posting racy photos, and then when somebody calls you out that this could cause somebody to stumble, instead of taking a Christ-like approach, you telling them, I'm sure you've seen worse on here, and it's called self-control. So, of course, I said something about a struggle is a struggle. It's our job to have compassion for people's struggles. If somebody's telling you they're struggling, a lust struggle is a real struggle. If it's not enough to just tell somebody to have self-control. If that was the case, we wouldn't need Christ. All I need is self-control. No, you need the power of the Holy Spirit. You need prayer. You need to choose you this day. That's a real struggle. But I was like, it was so disheartening for me. Like, you claim to be in leadership for Christian marriages, and no Christ. No, I saw zero Christ in the response. When people are saying, hey, this can cause somebody to struggle, when the Word of God is clear that if you have freedom in Christ, but if what you do causes your brother to stumble, don't do it, basically. If I owe you love, if the Word says that I to owe no one nothing but love, if I owe you love, then I'm going to put your need over my want. Just because I want to do something doesn't mean that I should, because my want could be causing a roadblock to what you need. You need to be able to not look at something in lust. I don't need to post that. That's a want. How can I love you like I love myself if I'm not putting what you need ahead of just what I want? No Christ in it. Absolutely none. So I'm seeing it in already. I mean, we've already been seeing most of this behavior that 2 Timothy 3 is describing. But even with when he talks about lovers of sensual pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of outward godliness, religion, although they have denied its power, for their conduct nullifies their claim of faith. Avoid such people and keep far away from them. Already seeing it in the body. And in the self-proclaimed body. Everybody who claims to be a follower of Christ is not a follower of Christ. Because the Word says, you know them by their fruit. They talking about they love the Lord, fruit rotten as hell, ready to argue, not trying to maintain peace, don't have no godliness in them. None whatsoever. Just want a platform that will be popular, especially during these times and there's all this uncertainty in the world. People are searching. So some people take advantage of that, and they just want a platform that they know people will gravitate towards. That's narcissistic. Not about Christ. It's just about them. They're just using the name of Jesus so that they can get their fix of people thinking they're so smart or wonderful. No God in it. And while we're dealing with these type of things and these type of people, you got to have faith to rise above it. You got to have faith to see beyond what's in your vision, your line of vision, a physical vision. And you have to have insight and spiritual vision. And it's going to require faith. So let's pray before we start taking calls. I think what we're going to do, because there's quite a few of you with your hand up. And if you're a first-time caller, you just hit 1 on your keypad, and it's going to say, you are now in the host queue. That's what you're going to hear. But what we're going to see is now they actually have a little hand that pops up. So it literally has a hand that's up. Like before, it used to be, I'm sure some of you have seen the switchboard before that have shows, but for those of you who don't, before it was just like, I don't even remember what it was. Was it like a circle or something? Like, yeah, it was like a little dot to let us know you were in the queue. But now it physically shows a hand. Show your hand is up, which is so cute. But you just hit 1, and then it notifies us that you have your hand up, which means that you want prayer. So we pray over you. We prophesy over you. We just basically let the Lord have his way concerning what you need. I know we always have things in mind, things that we want prayer for, but God is always going to supply needs. But before we start praying over everybody, let's do a collective prayer together, and then let's hear what the Lord has to say about your situation and what's going on in your life personally. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for this night. We thank you for being alive in this time. And we just give you glory, honor, and praise. You're such a good God, Father God. We just love you. We love you, Lord. Help us to tap into our faith, Father God, and to act upon it. Let us have living faith. We don't want dead faith. Because if it's dead, it doesn't really exist. But we want live faith. So help us to have genuine faith, because you can't fake faith. Can't fake it, because you're going to have to do the work. And so let us have genuine faith, Father God. Let us do the things that's necessary to build our faith. Help us to be to study your word, to show ourselves approved, so that we are not caught up in the schemes and the wiles of the enemy, so that we have a discernment, so that when we see something that's got your name attached to it, that's not an accurate representation of you, we have the discernment, the knowledge, the wisdom to know that's not of you, to be able to identify when people are truly serving you, and being able to identify when they have an outward appearance, but the inside ain't right, so that we can stay away from them and just pray for them. And help us, Father God, to rise above the times that we're in, but to identify that it's prophetic, so that we're not looking at it in a negative standpoint, so that we're rejoicing to say that prophecy is coming to pass, which means it's closer and getting closer and closer to the time for you to return. Help us to know what's going to happen. Let us not shy away from Bible prophecy. Help us to be in the know, so that we're not getting depressed or falling apart because of what's happening. Because when we know what's going to happen, when we know how it all plays out, we start to see each step unfold. That gives us something to rejoice about. So, Lord, tonight, as Terrence and I pray over your people, Lord, help us to decrease as you increase, and just use us as your vessels, as your mouthpieces, to say what you desire for your people to know. And Lord, just encourage your people and help us to love one another, Lord, and to sharpen one another, and to have grace and love for one another. We need each other. We need to be united. We need to be one mind, one accord, and help us, Father God, to do that. So many people don't want to deal with people right now, but we need to deal with one another as the body of Christ. So, Lord, we just love and honor you, and we just pray this prayer in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
So what we're going to do, should we, a lot of people, you want to pray over area codes prefixes or unmute? Which one? Okay, we're going to pray over area codes and prefixes. If you can see, I can't wait till we have video so you can see Terrence's face, because he's a facial communicator. Like, he could give me a look and I know exactly what he's saying. It's so funny though. But so we're gonna do like how Randy typically does on Wednesdays, where he usually unmutes and gets your name, but we're just gonna pray over area codes and prefixes so that we can get everybody taken care of. And so let's just do that. So let's start off with 336-354. Lord, we just thank you right now for 336-354. I just, the word I'm hearing for you is victory. Did I pray this over you before? I don't even remember. The numbers start to get jumbled after a while, but that's what I'm seeing. I just see this, you know, like a big V for victory, and that you just walk in that. You know, I was talking earlier to my daughter, and we were talking about knowing who you are in Christ and knowing who you serve. And she was saying how sometimes she has difficulty because she feels like it's being cocky or arrogant. And I said, there's a difference in knowing who you are and who you serve and being confident and bold versus being cocky and arrogant. So, you know, cockiness and arrogance comes from a place of, I think I'm better than you. You know, where being bold is, I know who I am and I know the power that I possess and I know who I serve. And so if God says I'm going to walk through that door and all the security comes out and they say, you ain't getting through this door, I don't think I'm better than you. I just know what my Father God said. I know his power. I know that he supersedes your power and I know who I am. So I'm getting through that door. That's a boldness. And so you, 336-354, you need to be bold with your victory. It don't matter if they told you you lost. You didn't. Let every man be a liar, and God's word be true. And God's word is not just the written word. It's even when he speaks to us, because everything that's written down has to be spoken, just like how he created everything with his words. So what God is speaking to you is the truth, and everything else is a lie. And God says you have victory. And so that's what you hold on to. Get bold with it. Where they be like, yeah, it's not going to work out. The devil is a liar. I understand that's what you think, but that's not what I know to be true. And that's just what it is. Be bold with that. So we thank you for the victory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hold on, let me get something together so I can make sure I get everybody. Don't you start, Terrence. Don't you start. Next caller is 240-482.
240-482, Lord, we thank you for 240-482, Father. We just thank you for preparation. God is prepping you. During the time of preparation, you are being prepared. It means that you're being equipped, you're being molded and developed. Preparation time is important because God does things. He makes sure that you are rightfully equipped for whatever times that you are entering in and whatever is manifested, that you are developed to handle it. Because he called us to be good stewards over everything that he's placed in the life he's given us. And so through preparation time, you know, we deal with frustrations. We deal with all type of emotions and stuff because we really want it. And just because you want it doesn't necessarily mean you're prepared to handle it. And so I speak humility, and I speak a peace, a calm over your life and in your life now, that you learn how to prepare. You learn how to develop, and you begin to enjoy the process. Enjoy the process, the moments, the time spent going through preparation, because there are a lot of lessons that's being taught as well. And so we just thank you, Lord, for peace. The peace tonight. And we just pray, Lord, that they begin to walk in that fully in peace. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Next caller is 919-292. The Lord gave me scripture, Matthew 4:12. I'm reading out of King James and Amplified. King James, it says, "Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee." And Amplified says, "But when Jesus heard that John the Baptist had been arrested and put in prison, he left for Galilee." But the header of that is Jesus begins his ministry. And a lot of the times something takes place that appears to be bad, but it's really something, it's really to kind of get you started to where you need to be to get something. Because Jesus heard that John the Baptist had been arrested and put in prison, he left for Galilee. That's where he started his ministry. You know, so it's like God's going to use situation. He's going to flip situations around that you might be thinking that you're going for one thing, but really it's to start something else. Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen tragedy turn into ministry. I've seen it. I've read stories where a situation that looked like it was a bad situation or a tragic situation, was the beginning of something beautiful. You know, John the Baptist going to prison and Jesus headed towards Galilee was the start of his ministry, and the end of his ministry was him sacrificing his life for us. So John the Baptist going to prison even played a part of us being able to have, you know, eternal life, because that sparked the beginning of Jesus' ministry. So I see God really taking something that looks like it's bad and flipping it around to give you a new beginning. You know, you just have to let God do what he does. Because even like for myself, when my mother passed in 2017, and it was unexpected, and it made me have a new compassion for people who are grieving. And it's like the loss of my mother was the beginning of me wanting to really spiritually mother in different areas. You know, I never, of course, when somebody dies, I've always been awkward when people die. Like I don't know what to say, like, except for I'm praying for you. And I don't really like when people say sorry for your loss, because it's not really a loss. But sometimes I've even found myself saying, I'm like, why did I say that? I didn't even like that. It always gets so weird. You know, I don't know why it gets so weird when people pass, because I wouldn't know what to say. But when I experienced that, it changed the way I handle it. It changed my perspective, because I know what I needed to hear. I know what I needed at that time. And I know what grated my nerves. You know, people need sincerity at that time. They got so much thrown at them, especially when you have to plan funerals and all this. You don't, if you've not had experience planning a funeral before, or, you know, dealing with the aftermath of a person's remains, it's overwhelming. You know, I thank God for Terrence and having to deal with when a person's, you know, renting a place and now they're deceased and having to deal with landlords and their things and all that. There's just so much that you're dealing with. But it gave me a new compassion for that area. You know, God has used every circumstance in my life to give me a new compassion. Even when Terrence and I were really going through a lot of stuff with, like, courts and being lied on and all this kind of stuff, and a person, like, really vowing to be enemies to us and going out of their way to show that they looked at us as their enemy, and God giving me a new compassion for how to deal with that. You know, so situation in your life that could be looked at as tragic or bad, God is going to use it to give you a new beginning. So, Lord, we just thank you for the new beginning for 919292 that they will appreciate it all. Be thankful for it all, because it's going to be what starts something new and something beautiful. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, next caller is 315-254.
315-254?
Yes, 315-254.
Right, Lord, we thank you for 315-254, Father God. We thank you for your presence, like his presence brings presence and gifts, being in his presence. Allow God in. Just open up and allow God in. Give God access to your life fully in every area of your life. You know, it's more than just saying, Lord, I believe Jesus died and he rose from the dead with all power. And you believe that he's the Son of God. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
That's the beginning. But the God wants to continue the work in you. So open up and allow him in to change things in you and around you. Just give God access, and that's all he wants is access. So, well, we just thank you for being present. Having your presence and bearing gifts, more and more gifts will be revealed to you. Things you didn't know you had, but they are there. God wants to help you unwrap those gifts that he's placed in you and around you. There are people around you that's gifted. It has things that they want to do. And God is going to use you, you know, to help bring it out of them. So just trust him. Open up and allow God in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Next caller is 850-966. Lord, we just thank you for 850-966. I thank you, Lord, for teaching them how to navigate. It's like I see the Lord really being like a lighthouse to you. And let's look at traditionally what lighthouses were used for, so we can have a better understanding. Lighthouse. So the lighthouse is a tower with a bright light on top. They serve to warn mariners of dangerous shallows and perilous rocky coasts, and they help guide vessels safely into and out of harbors. So I see God being a lighthouse to you. Helping you to navigate. So that's funny that's what he gave me, and that's what it says, to help guide vessels safely in and out of harbors. He's really going to be a lighthouse to you to help you navigate through things. So sometimes we have to go go through things that we've never been through, and we really don't know how to navigate through it. You know, when you're just thrown into something, you're just doing the best that you can do, right? Because you're like, oh, I don't have any experience with this. It's like I was just talking about now with, you know, when my mom passed, I didn't know how to navigate that, but Terrence did. and really, you know, came through for me. And when we were going through like just a bunch of madness at one time, because even when my mom passed, we were going through a lot of that court stuff. There was just like stuff stacked on top of stuff. One day we'll have a show and we'll tell about all what we went through, because it was pure hell on earth. And we didn't have any experience with dealing with some of that stuff. And but God was a lighthouse to us. And what we knew is what the word says. And the word said to, you know, what how to handle enemies, how to handle when people lie on you and all that kind of stuff and try to despitefully use you. The word of God is clear. And we were always just mindful of the seeds that we were sowing. We knew we had to be mindful of our seeds, even though it would have been easy to get into our flesh, but we knew that we had to protect our seeds. And so I see you navigating through something that you know, something you just kind of thrown in. So, but God is your lighthouse. It's going to help you get in safely, get out safely. That's all you need to know. You don't have to have all the answers. The answer is Jesus. You know, sometimes people start asking, well, what are we going to do, Jesus? I don't know. Mm-hmm. That's the answer. Jesus is, I don't know, but Jesus is the answer. That I do know. That's all you need to know. That's going to help you sleep. That's going to help you just keep waking up and choosing you this day who you will serve. Because some days people wake up and they serve their emotions. Sometimes people wake up and they serve their circumstance. But you choose Jesus every day, and that's all you need to do, because he is your lighthouse. He's going to help you navigate safely in and out this thing. So, Lord, we just thank you for that. We thank you for the safety, Father God. We thank you for the light in dark places, so that they are able to see what's ahead to help navigate. Because, again, what it says with the lighthouses, that they will warn mariners of dangerous, shallows, and perilous rocky coasts. So if you're trying to navigate on a ship and you know that there's a rocky coast, you're not going to go full steam ahead. You're going to turn the ship so that you don't hit the coast, the rockiness, so you don't hit the rocky. If you see something that's dangerous and shallow, you're not going to go purposely driving through it. No, you're going to steer and do what needs to be done to avoid that. And so that's what the Lord is going to do, and shine light on things so that you see things ahead, so that you know how to navigate around it. So we just thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Next caller is 610969.
610969. Hello, we thank you for 610969. We thank you for the love, the push, the strength. It's like owning like your royalty, your uniqueness. I'm seeing like in the jungle where you got the big cats, you got the lion. They're distinct in nature. They have a presence. And they know who they are. They know who they are. They do what God has created them to do.
Mm-hmm.
And with you knowing who you are and finding out what God has created you to do, you begin to walk and own your territory.
Mm-hmm.
Owning your territory through the love that God has placed on the inside of you is to own the territory. And this world is our territory. God has given it to us to run it. And so run it. Begin to declare and decree and make things happen. Because you have the ability, you have the power, you have the faith for it. Just move into it, step out in it, and give God glory. That's what I got in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Next caller is 804218. Lord, we just thank you for 804-218 to take down the false idols, to destroy the altars. That's what I see, the false idols and altars being removed and taken down. And typically for people go to, people will worship things, and we know what idols are, but I see God removing them out of your life and even out of the lives of people who have influence in your life, where God's going to take down the false idols and destroy the altars. So, Lord, we just thank you for that. Let that be done in Jesus' name. It's like 804-218. It's like I see, like, even loved ones that you're believing for that really are lost. They're lost. These false idols and these altars, they believe that stuff is true. They're very sincere in their belief, but God's going to take it down. God's going to remove it. He's going to destroy it. It's almost like when Elijah went up against the false prophets of Baal, and nothing happened. You think they would have showed up if they would have really known that they was going to lose? Who shows up for a fight knowing that they're going to lose? You know, a lot of times that when they really believe that they're going to win the fight. And to the point where, you know, they was losing so bad, Elijah started to, you know, really roast them, like, where's your God? Is he using the restroom? Is he taking a nap? Like, where is he? Because he knew that their God was not, it was false. And so he had to show them. He could show them better than he could tell them. And so that's what I'm seeing, 804-218, that for your family members, I don't know if it's one or more, but once the altars are destroyed and the false idols are removed, they're going to come out of that trance and see that they were lost, because they are. They're lost. And I just pray for them too, that God, that you reveal yourself and make yourself be known to them so that they can follow after the truth, and that they can accept the truth, and that the truth will set them free. And let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Next person is 480-637.
480-637. Heavenly Father, we thank you for 4637. Lord, we just thank you for the interpretations, interpreting of discernment, revelation, knowledge. See God turning it up in your life to interpret things, whether it be dreams, you know, whatever. But I see interpretation being revealed, like, to you, God showing you things through interpretations and giving you more or revelation through the knowledge that you have. Because it's one thing to have knowledge of something, but it's another thing to be revealed, revelation of it, of the truth in it. In God showing you, taking you deeper into the meanings of the word, taking you deeper into the word. So that you could understand his heart. You know, his will.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding his will for your life, and your purpose. So we just thank you for these things being done. In Jesus' name, mm-hmm. Amen.
Next caller is 251-229. Lord, we just thank you for 251-229, we thank you for the ability to step on the head of serpents, to tread. I see you like treading in, on the head of serpents. So that's basically like demons and the devil, and crushing, like the Lord is using you to crush, to crush demons, to crush the enemy. Because, I mean, when you really think about things that, when even in the natural, and critters get into your garage or your house or something, you really want to take something out, you've got a shovel. You whack them in the head. That's going to take them clean on out. You can hit them in the foot. They might be, you know, scurry off, crippled, but they're still alive. But when you step on the head, when you crush the head, that's going to take that thing out. And that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing God using you to take demons out. Because, see, some people have been sitting there chopping off the foot, and it's growing back because it's a lizard demon. It's a snake-like. You know what I'm saying? Like sometimes with reptiles, you can chop something, and it can grow back. So it's temporarily crippling it. It's temporarily rendering it not able to operate in its full capacity, but it still can operate. But I see you crushing the head of serpents, taking them out, just taking them out. So, Lord, we just thank you for that ability, that crushing ability. Give them that crushing ability to destroy demons, for them to never return. And that's in people's lives, their own lives, and territories. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Next caller is 720-620.
720-620. Heavenly Father, we thank you for 720-620. We thank you for order, things coming together and getting in order. Order is so important to have in our lives and in everyday lives. God does everything in order.
Mm-hmm.
There's an order to things. And when things get out of order, it's chaos. And so I see God really making order like a heavy desire of yours, because the more things you place in order, the further along you're going to go.
Mm-hmm.
And the more the solid things are in your life when things have order to it. We need order, structure in our families. You know, we need order and structure with ourselves. You know, we have to learn to discipline ourselves, because we expect a lot from others, but it's what we need for ourselves. Yes, focus on that. Getting that for yourself, and then watching your world around you change because of how you see it now.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you've put things in order, and so things make sense. It can't make sense of chaos. It's all out of order. But you can see things clear when there's order. And so we thank God for that manifesting and being done in your life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Next caller is 214-415. Lord, we just thank you for 214-415. Thank you for making odd things even. Odd things even.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way I'm seeing it. Yeah, because I'm like, I see it. You know, you see something, you have to try to explain it.
Mm-hmm.
Things that, let's just look up odd. Let's look up the word odd. I think that's going to help me to be able to explain it. Here we go. Oh, what is it doing? I don't know what that is. wanting to go into some clinical acronym. Okay, odd. Differing markedly from the usual, ordinary, or accepted. Not regular, expected, or planned. Encountered or experienced from time to time. Being without a corresponding mate. Left over after other are paired or grouped. Being a function where the sign is reversed, but the absolute value remains the same. Left over as a remainder. I'm seeing God making the odd things even. And this is a play on words where odd like strange and odd where it just, it doesn't add up. Like where people tend to like even numbers even because you can pair them, right? If I got five, I got two pairs of two and then I've got the leftover one. Where if I've got six, now I've got three pairs of two, and so on and so forth. So there is always something left out when there's an odd number. And I see God making things even. So when things are odd as far as like being strange, he's going to correct it and make it even, where it's not odd anymore. Where you're like, that's odd. You know, when something's off, that's odd. Something ain't right. Something's off. You know, that's what that's a word I use when something's strange. I'll say, that's odd. Mm-hmm. You know, and God's going to make those things even. Because sometimes something's odd, it's off, and you don't quite know what it is, but you know something is off, and God is going to make it even. So he's going to correct it. And then he's going to correct even the odd things like, where things, there's something left out, like an odd number, like two groups, and then there's just this one just lingering, just left out. So not that it doesn't count, but it's still left out. It's still not like the others, where the others could pair up, and then it's just left out on its own. God's going to make it even. So hopefully that makes sense to you. Because like I say, he's showing it. The way I see it, it's almost like I can't even say it the way I'm seeing it. But hopefully that already makes sense to you. And if not, God will give you more clarity on that. So, Lord, we just thank you for that. We thank you for correcting things and evening things, making things even. So let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Next caller here is 903-918.
Well, we thank you for justification. We thank you for showing that you're just and giving the understanding that everything in life ain't to be quote unquote fair, you know. Things, you don't always have to do something for a negative or a pull on your life occurs. You know, we'll often say, well, I ain't even do none of that person for them. You don't have to. You know, it's a spiritual thing. What you have to know is where it comes from and what's going on with it. But trust God, and God is going to show you that he's just. So learn to persevere. God is giving you strength to persevere, and so tap into that because you can't do it alone. And he's going to show you, and you're going to come out brand new. You're going to come out brand new. We come against doubt. We come against fears and worry. And guilt right now in Jesus' name. We bind it in Jesus' name. And we just pray that your will be revealed and that your comfort is there, that the Comforter comforts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. That's everybody. We got everybody. So grateful. Thank you for tuning in tonight. And we're going to go ahead and end the show, let you get back to your evening. Hopefully you get some scripture and some prayer before you go to bed tonight. But we love you. And until next time, good night.
Night.